Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Get really bad at this job.
Well, I thought they were off on that scene, so I thought I could turn them on so it'd be ready when we came back to this scene.
Oh, I can see what you're thinking. Yeah.
That was my plan.
I forgot to set this scene up anyways. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We're getting close, John.
I said 11 days.
Yeah, that can't be right, can it? Can that be right? I don't know.
That's what it says. What? Sarah, come on. Okay. Oh, never mind.
What's up here?
Sarah's being mean.
Sarah's always being mean. 11 days, 10 hours. Actually, I don't know if I forget how I'm doing the conversion here.
I'm sure we make her want to spit on us.
Oh, every week, yeah.
Say something stupid.
Oh my gosh, man. I don't know what... We got this conference thing happening, I guess.
Yeah, so if this is your first time joining us, you're listening to PHP Architect Podcast. Eric and I talk about development, running a business, which we try to do not so well. Terrible web design because we have our 2026 behind the about when you scale it to that size. It happens. And we do consulting. We have a small business here in San Diego. Well, we're in San Diego, Southern California, and our team is spread out around the world.
And?
Sorry, I'm so distracted by Discord. If you want to join us over on our Discord channel over at discord.phparch.com, where you too can make fun of me.
There we go, that's better.
Yeah. We do run a conference, PHP Tech, coming up here in just 11 days, 10 hours, 52 minutes, and a few seconds. Eric and I were talking before the show about my flight plans are going to be really tight around Little League baseball, hopefully. We start playoffs on Tuesday night, and if we win, we play Saturday, and I think I can still coach the game, leave as soon as the game is over, and make it to the airport before I fly out. If we lose on Tuesday,
that's the plan.
If we lose on Tuesday, then I miss the second game and I'm sad.
Well, you'll win, so it'll be fine. Also, we'd like to thank our partners over at CodeRabbit for making this podcast a little better. We're going to talk about CodeRabbit a little bit later as well. Oh man, we got the April issue out. Yeah, we got the April issue out, but we're still working on May, right? Yeah, we're working on May.
Yep, May's been running. Yeah. I did order the magazines for the conference, so if you are going to be in person at the conference, you will get a print copy in your swag bag. If we do bags, somehow you will have a print copy.
Yep, and you'll have a new elephant as well, Holly. We're calling the new elephant Holly. After Holly, who has gone above and beyond helping John and I with organizing this conference and building the application. I worked with Holly a little bit this week on getting the notification piece work. And so if you're on the beta program, there's an update out there that will have notifications working. There's no notifications right now. It's just going to notify you. If you select a talk and it goes into your schedule, so basically you saying that's a talk you want to go to, you select a talk, it goes in your schedule. If we modify that talk, like move it around, you'll get a notification and it'll let you know it's been moved around. Jen and I are also talking about, obviously we're not going to abuse it or anything, but we do get a lot of feedback every year about people who didn't know, like the keynotes had started or lunch was starting. So we're talking about maybe sending out notifications through that app, letting people know keynotes started, lunch is being served.
Yeah.
But that's going to be it. Yeah.
We also use Discord. So if you're going and you're not in our Discord channel, that's our primary method of communication at the conference as well.
Yeah, you'd be part of it. And you can still get a virtual pass and you can be there virtually.
I don't want to throw the first game. I want to win the first game so that I can be at the second game. That's the whole point. I throw the first game. The second game would be Saturday night. I have already landed in Chicago.
So what's that, John? Yeah, this is one of the new Padre hats. The San Diego Padres are adopting our orange.
We've had that kind of impact on the city.
Absolutely, yeah. They were saying, what is this PHP architect and what is with that beautiful orange? And now they have a bunch of orange hats, which I actually haven't seen them wear in the field yet, but I bought a few.
It's coming, don't worry. They will.
I'm wearing our new
Vim for developers who don't quit. That looks Vim better in person. Developers? Not in person, but as you're wearing it.
Everything looks better on me, John. I actually get that comment a lot, where people would prefer me to have clothes on than off because it just looks that much better.
So on store.phbrs.com, when I've seen that shirt, the letters in the middle look like they would be very hard to read. But
yeah, they're pretty easy to read.
Yeah, they stand out just fine.
Yeah, I like this one. I like the quality a lot, too. So, yeah, store.phbrs.com. Get your geek swag on.
Yeah. Hoping we have t-shirts coming for tech this year, and we are hoping they will be there on time because it's a little last minute on getting to the vendor. So I'll thank them. I want to thank Clayton Kendall for providing the shirts again this year. They did last year as well. And looking forward to seeing them there.
Oh, we need to get their logo up on the site too.
Yeah, I was going to make note of that.
Probably should do that. Oh, I should have sent that off to the design team. We'll get it in before we print anything, I guess.
Yeah. How's your week been?
Stressed? It's been okay. Like I said, I spent some time with Holly working on the mobile app, which is fun. It's a lot of components to it because she wrote it native. So it's Swift on iOS and Kotlin on Android. And then there's a backend component as well. Obviously, that's what's helping store everything. But yeah, it's fun. Just a lot of moving pieces to work on. And I can't thank Holly enough for stepping up and doing that for us. But yeah, I'm excited to have that. Besides that, yeah, just I've been grinding away on the PHP Tech TV site the last couple of days, testing stuff out because I've done that big redesign. And just making sure everything still works the way it's supposed to. And I think so. The only thing I actually haven't tested is just make sure the live streams kick in, which I still need to do that. It's kind of a pain to do because I've got like manually reset all the schedules so that, you know, it thinks that there's a live stream happening and then it knows to go look for the live stream. And then I also have to actually stream something for it to pick up. So yeah, I gotta get all that done, but it's getting there. I'm happy. I'm really disappointed in myself because I made a very strong push a couple weeks ago to try to get the rewrite for phparch.com done. And I got really far along to the point now where it's like, everything that's left to do is like the important stuff, like making sure subscriptions get captured correctly, make sure your magazines are accessible, like all that. And I don't know. I just ran out of time, ran out of steam, had too many other things to do. The conferences, the PHP Tech TV, it's just been stressing me for the last few weeks. And I keep saying every year, I say it the same time every year. I've got to tie this into the Sessionize APIs because several years ago now, I guess back in 2023.
When we started,
back in 2023, when we first decided to bring the conference back, that PHP Tech TV was very much a last minute thing. We did a bunch of guerrilla coding and we patched it together. And it was like literally the first couple of days of the conference was John and I fixing all the bugs on the damn site so that it would stream. But, you know, I just, there's been a lot of things that I haven't been happy with the way it was done. I've been slowly fixing it and fixing it. But the one thing that I always procrastinate on because I don't think about it is the importing of the speakers in the talks is a manual process, but it doesn't need to be. Like there's an API endpoint I can hit and grab. And I just haven't done that yet. And I think I can get it done before the conference this year. I just need to like buckle down and do it because I have to rewrite how the imports are done because I did it all based off of a specific format, a CSV file. So now I got to grab the JSON, find out where the fields are and write another importer.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. I mean, either way, but yeah, just stressed out, man. Stressed out.
Howie's asking if we want the streams to be in the app. And they'll make it happen.
Yeah, they keep asking. So, I don't think this time around, only because the people at the conference would be the ones that are using the app, and they're there. So
yeah, but virtual could use it too. If they have the app and we move time slots around, they'll know. They'll get notified.
I guess.
They could watch while they're going to the bathroom.
But see, then we get down to the whole authentication process, right? So we have to authenticate them against PHP Tech TV to make sure they have permission to watch the stream.
That's true.
So I kind of had sidestepped that because we were kind of working on it. The whole idea is to make things easier for the attendees. And quite honestly, I got too much stuff going on right now to try to set up authentication, right? I mean, I just don't feel like it. So, because Holly, to Holly's defense, she's been pushing me. She's like, yeah, you know, let's do it this way. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that much work right now. Can we not do that right now?
It's not that you don't want to do that much work. It's you have to focus on some other things right now.
Right, and that's only half. Like, you know, I had to send this like novel to our design group of, oh yeah, by the way, we need badges, we need signs, we need, you know, room signs, we need, oh man, it's just like there's so many things going on. So anyways, go ahead.
I was gonna say, on top of that, things constantly are changing too, like schedule changing. We've had a couple of speakers back out for various reasons. I have a speaker that has not replied in a couple of months to anything. So I've reached out via email and via LinkedIn. So I think we have two more slots that are going to be open here very soon. Frustrating. So you asked me if I was stressed. I was woken up this morning in the middle of a dream. In this dream, I somehow got into an Uber, but I was waiting for Uber Eats to bring me some food, but I'm in a different Uber. And the guy was annoyed with me. He's like, well, are they coming in up here at this intersection? I'm like, I'm looking at the app, the Uber apps, and I'm tracking it on the way. And I'm like, yeah, they're going to be. And he's like, well, traffic is really slow right there. I'm going to pull up over there. So it's like down the road a little bit. And as we're pulling up to this intersection, looking in the app on the map, I see the word threat go by. I'm like, that's weird. It's just identifying cars as threats. But it was a motorcycle. The motorcycle goes around the back of the car. The guy gets off the motorcycle with a gun and shoots the tire, and then comes over to the passenger side door where I'm sitting and shoots the, like, trying to shoot the key, kind of like trying to shoot the keyhole out to open the door, because for some reason, the driver's just standing there looking at him like he's crazy, and then hits the lock button on the door, locks all the doors, and I'm freaking out. I like pull the lever on the seat and like lay all the way back as the guy then points at the window to shoot mm-hmm. at the lock, you know, the old style locks where you pulled the lock up. So he's now trying mm-hmm. to shoot at that. It's got to be stress, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's stress.
As he's shooting at that, my wife had in real life opened the blinds to wake us up in the morning because got to get ready for school and stuff. And it was such a weird dream. Yeah, stress is the word.
Oh man, yeah. So yeah. Anyways, yeah. There's gonna be an app. Holly is in our Discord, so everybody think Holly. But Holly, is the app public now? Is it in the Play Store? I guess I could go check, huh?
It happened to be in there for a completely separate reason, so I could tell you as well.
You doing development this week?
I have been on a couple of things.
The vendor app is there, which needs to be updated.
Yeah, it's still in prepare for submission. Yeah, development-wise, currently working on getting code base PHP 8 up to PHP 8.5. So just released 8.5 onto the develop server.
Mm-hmm.
Had to open 3 or 4 different pull requests to get the code base up and ready for PHP 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Separately, the person who got the server up and running logged into their account, and they're like, there's this wall of logs in the app log. No errors on the screen. Like everything was working,
mm-hmm.
but it was just hundreds of errors. And I started researching it and I couldn't figure it out because I'm logging into my account. It's everything's fine. Turns out he had a weird setting on his account. And I'm like, I think this is happening on PHP 8.4 as well. Like it's not a 8.5 thing. It's just there's something. There's a bug here, yes, and it's the way is being handled afterwards. It's just noise in the log, so I was able to code around right. it pretty easily.
Yeah,
but it's just like, why did we do it that way? Like trying to pull a record without an ID, and then based on that record, we say, hey, does this record have an ID? Oh no, let's return false and move on. Well, we could check to see if there's an ID before trying to get the record. It's so dumb. Dang it, Twitch. That's why I hate having all the different accounts going at the same time.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Oh, you can ban through Restream too, can't you? I always forget that.
I think so, yeah. Does somebody need to be banned?
Yeah.
Why? It's probably somebody on Twitch, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always Twitch.
Yeah. I got it right here. We will add to block list and Restream chat.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
But it doesn't come off of the screen. That's what I don't like. It's so weird.
Does it not? It might on the delay. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I guess you're right. I guess it doesn't.
Yeah, we're not delayed on our screen.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you do, whoops. Well, screw that up now, didn't I?
There you go. Awaz has got the right idea. Just start spamming the chat.
Just put a wall of text up there.
Oh, Awaz got his. Oh, I did mean that. I was trying to click on that link, then I remembered that wasn't Discord. This is actually Discord every year. Is this the one you did last year, Awaz? Or somebody have written last year? Nope. This is this year. Here, let me share this. Awaz's little article, career tip, attended conference. Love these. John was just talking about how we didn't do any blog posts this year for the conference website, which honestly, I was going to, but I really didn't think anybody was taking advantage of it last year, so I didn't worry about it.
Not only did we not write them, they're not available on the the site, but there's a lot of good content from last year that's still relevant, like getting from the airport to the hotel.
They're not on the site at all?
No. And I know that, and I didn't go looking for it. I mean, I didn't go looking at it. My kid is peeking around the corner at me for some reason.
Uh-oh. That can't be good.
Oh, it's fine. He's being silly.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. Shoot. That's weird. Oh, you know where I think it is? I think it's on PHP Tech. I know it's somewhere because I was looking at it the other day. I'm like, damn, we didn't do this. Yeah, it's on PHP Tech TV. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Last year when we had multiple pages, it was part of the site as well. And this year we tried to do a single page thing. And it's...
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the single page worked, but yeah, you're right. We should have kept a blog on there, I guess, because it does have some good tips on getting around town. Maybe we'll do that this weekend. I'll try to find some time this weekend and add it.
And the Cubs are in town too.
Cubs are in town. They're playing the Brewers Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they're playing somebody on Friday. And I haven't really nailed down what day. It really depends on how quick we get set up and how smooth the setup goes. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to taking my kid to a Cubs game. Like I said, if nothing else, I'll probably go to that other professional league that they have that's literally like 2 miles from the hotel. I might slip in and catch one of those games, but yeah,
sure.
I'm gonna put Andy's, you know, I just called you Andy, Andrew, sorry about that. I'm put Andrew's thing in the show notes for people listening to the audio podcast. Link to Andrew's LinkedIn blog post. Career tip, attend a conference. So, and he just kind of goes through the benefits and all that. I'm not sure if he calls us out by name. No, look at that. He doesn't. Oh, there at the very bottom. He says we're here. All right. That's cool. I'll let that slide, I guess. yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Woods. Is Woods, you're talking this year, aren't you? You're on the speaker list, I believe. Right? Am I wrong? I think I'm right.
You are wrong.
I'm wrong?
You are wrong.
What?
Got it. You got his hopes all up.
I did. I mean, we got some spots to fill. Oh, damn it. Sorry. Well, Andrew has spoken for us in the past.
Yeah. I want to apologize right now to people attending. It's going to be part of our opening, but beverages are not going to be all day like they have been in the past. We had to make that tough decision to make it half day. So coffee and sodas will be available until lunchtime.
Yep. And just so you guys know, we're not sacrificing. That wasn't the first thing we sacrificed. We had to let the speakers know that there wasn't going to be a speaker dinner this year, because that's one of the bigger expenses, like out-of-pocket expenses. And we can only really do it if a sponsor steps up and says, yeah, we'll sponsor a speaker dinner. And unfortunately, we didn't get that this year, and we tried. We actually hired somebody to do a bunch of marketing for us, and I know they tried. So it's just one of those things. So yeah, we're just trying to make it as good of an experience for everybody. But yeah, coffee goes away at lunchtime, right after lunch, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, right after lunch, which is fine. I don't think a whole lot of people go for it at
anyways. But the amount they charge for coffee and drinks was absolutely insane.
So here's my thing, right? Like, as much as we're paying for it, it should be okay. We're not going to restock it after this time. Like, you guys can finish, because the coffee's already made. Like, let us finish the coffee. You know, I get, okay, maybe if you want to take the soda cans back or whatever, I'm sure we're still paying for them, but like, Just don't take it away. Just don't refill it. Just keep it there.
Right. Maybe they will, but I doubt it. I'm sure it's going to hit time and they're going to be like, all right, get it in. They're not paying for it anymore.
So we had, we'll keep doing this because we've been asked to. We realize a lot of people here know we have a consulting group at PHP Architect, but if you didn't know, we do have a consulting group here at PHP Architect. We augment teams. We are total replacements. We don't come in and replace teams. we have become the IT group of, you know, certain of some of our clients where they've just, you know, hire us and they don't worry about augmenting anything.
Right.
But the challenge I have discovered over these years that augmenting teams is one of the more challenging pieces, right? Because like there are systems in place and everybody has like a knowledge of stuff. And for like new people to kind of come in, I don't know, it's just like this weird thing. And we've had one client that, I mean, yes, we kind of augment their team, but also, yeah, I guess we technically were augmenting their existing team, but their existing team is pretty small. And, you know, we've struggled to deliver to them like the level of work that we are accustomed to delivering. Like we're used to like kind of being the badasses, like understanding all the ins and outs and getting deep into the code and figuring everything out. And we've been doing that, but there's like just been something off. Like things have been seeming to like trigger exactly correct. And like the thing that really brought this to light is we've been trying to upgrade their version of PHP. And this is something we've done several times and we know the pitfalls and we know what to look for. Like this is nothing out of the unusual for us. John, how do you hang up on a call?
Just click a button.
I'm trying.
You know, no, it won't hang up. It'll just silence the ringing.
So for whatever reason, like every time we try to do this upgrade, like it just wasn't working. It was like really unusual for us. So like the first time it failed, it's like, all right, we missed something. It happens. Let's regroup. Let's figure it out. And let's, you know, get this upgrade done. And so we thought we had done that. And the second time failed. And that is like really unusual for us. Like almost to the point where, you know, I'm like, I don't know what to do at this point. Like you've tried twice and it hasn't worked, but we kind of followed the same playbook. Okay, wait a second. Step back, regroup, look at everything. They're coming from like 7 to 8. So it's not even like this crazy jump in versioning. Like it is a major release, but it's not like they're not coming from 4 to 8. You know, it's nothing like that. And so we try a third time and we failed a third time. And that is like when basically John and I were both like, wait a minute, there's like something's wrong here. Like this is not correct. And fortunately, you know, the team did a deep dive into the code. They found like this old Laravel shift that one of the developers had started before they left. And I guess
before we ever came on.
We even came on.
So it was existing in the code base, a new branch to upgrade to 8.4 or 8.2, whatever it was.
Which was handed over to us.
Right.
Right. So it was like, so they had done a deep dive and they discovered like a bunch of abnormal things with that upgrade, like config files missing and stuff. So instead of saying, okay, let's regroup and try again, we took a different approach and we kind of engaged, you know, the management team. It's like, hey, you know, we try not to put our foot down too much with clients because, you know, they pay us money and we like that and we don't want to upset them. But occasionally we have. And with one of our other clients where we had a similar issue with every time we try to release something, we'd have to pull it back out because it would have failed because it wasn't tested properly. So what we did with that client, especially for big efforts, we told him, hey, you know, can you guys come up with a playbook on exactly what you're going to test so that we can test it And, you know, we can kind of make sure everything works before we hand it off to you. And then we know what you're testing. And so if anything's missed, like if something's broken, we know that it's been missed in the testing and we'll just have to write tests for it. And that's worked out really good for us. Mm-hmm. It kind of slows down the process a little bit in the beginning, but it speeds it up because, like, when we release things now, we're pretty confident with the release cycle. So we kind of went to the management team and said, hey, we really need you guys to do a playbook for us for testing. And while you're at it, we've never really been trained on what your product is. Like, we get tossed bugs and say, hey, this isn't doing this correctly, fix it, and we fix it, but we don't really know how to test it. Like, we don't know how you guys might are using the application.
Might be able to test that one piece because we can see it, but mm-hmm. as a, hey, go use the whole application, it was not done well because when we were brought on board, there was a developer and he was training one other person who's not really a developer, but trying to train them to help him out. And shortly after we joined, that person left out of frustration. I mean, they'd been there for, 20 years?
Yeah.
And they finally just had enough and they walked away, knowing that they brought us on board to be there. But there was a whole lot of upheaval at that point. So, no, we weren't trained. Management was happy we were there, but all they cared about was the application kept running, not that we knew how to mm-hmm. use it.
Yeah.
So now it's at a point where it's like, we gave it to them. Hey, test this. And when they come back and say, good to go, we're like, all right, let's deploy. Shit hits the fan. What do you do, right? At that point, all you can do is roll back.
Hey, Sean Mays in our Discord, or actually in Facebook. Hey, Sean, haven't talked to you in forever. Hope things are going well. He's the PHP guy. Or was like the PHP guy in Vancouver. I think he's kind of stepped away from that aspect of things. But yeah, so anyways, our team got trained today, as a matter of fact, on it. And it's so good to see the feedback from the team members of how excited they were. You can kind of tell and this is on me. I mean, I should have insisted on this sooner, but like it. Not only did things make sense to them, but they realized like the way certain things were being conveyed to them on like how it was being used, how the app was being used, wasn't exactly correct. Like they learned that, you know, it's not really being used the way that we thought it was being used. And like some of the areas where they've been putting a lot of, our liaisons or the people we've been working with have been putting a lot of their focus on is really like something like, yeah, I mean, it's there, but nobody really takes advantage of that piece. And it's like, okay, good to know.
So now we can start to optimize based on that.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we're going to get it nailed. I'm almost, I don't want to get cocky, but I'm feeling pretty good about getting this playbook done and getting through this upgrade.
At our lunch next week, we need to bring up the database situation.
Database situation, I think, is a good topic to bring up.
Again, this app has been around for a very long time, and turns out the database is on the same machine as the app itself, so scaling is an issue, and upgrading is even worse.
Yeah,
with the way that they are currently doing the upgrades. I was in shock when they told me how we're bringing up a new instance, we're migrating the data. And I'm like, but why? That doesn't make sense. My head just like doesn't compute that you have to shut the app down, export, import the database somewhere else. It's just like,
yeah, we definitely need to bring that up. And yeah. We're actually, and I get it. Like, database as a service is typically a fairly expensive venture. But I mean, even if you spin up another machine and you just say, hey, this is the database server, you know, that's still better, which is something we should consider doing, especially for like tech TV. I mean, we do it for like all our clients, but like and our main site is like that as well. But like all our little side hustles, like the conference site and stuff, we don't use a centralized database, and we should.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was
because Forge is easy, and Forge is just like throwing a database on here.
Yeah, not only does it let you throw a database on there, but lets you manage the creation of the databases schemas, mm-hmm. and it lets you manage the users for the database all through Forge, which is a nicety. And when we didn't have a Joe, that was really kind of good. And like I said, initially the conference website, it was like, I don't need, you know, RDS for this, you know, I'll just throw it on the machine. And but yeah, this made me think about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a moment, because we're kind of in deep here and we haven't talked about our good people over at CodeRabbit.
Thank you to our partners over at CodeRabbit for sponsoring this episode. Code reviews are critical but time-consuming. CodeRabbit acts as your AI co-pilot, providing instant code review comments and potential impacts of every pull request. Beyond just flagging issues, CodeRabbit provides one-click fix suggestions and lets you define custom code quality rules using AST grep patterns, catching subtle issues that traditional static analysis tools might miss. CodeRabbit reviews 1 million PRs every week across 3 million repositories and is used by 100,000 open source projects. CodeRabbit is free for all open source repos. Get started today by visiting phpa.me/CodeRabbit. Again, that is phpa.me/CodeRabbit.
Thanks, CodeRabbit.
Thank you, CodeRabbit.
Did you like my response to you? John, I submitted a PR to the tech website, and John's like, yeah, man, CodeRabbit's suggesting some changes. I'm like, yeah, we're archiving this site like 2 weeks. I don't care. Push it live.
I approved.
I bullied him into approving.
I'm used to it. Bully.
Yeah, it's my thing. Okay, we've talked about a lot of things. And some of it I wanted to kind of get back around, because I kind of have a ticket for one of them. We talked about Laravel Shift and the coming Intel code base that was kind of mid-shift, that hadn't really been, you know, completely vetted out. Not knocking Shift. We're a big supporter of JMac and Shift for years. We have, you know, we've definitely used Shift more times than not. I don't think Shift is as big of a deal as it used to be, because the upgrade paths are so less aggressive than they used to be. I mean, like, the framework would be rewritten between, you know, not even major upgrades. It's just like, oh yeah, we decided to pull all this out and put all this in.
It was still young and a baby, and Taylor's like, I've been using it a lot, and now I think if it worked this way, it'd be even better. So
mm-hmm.
just matched his style as he kept growing. So,
well, and then you started getting people, you know, really talented developers like Nuno involved, who were like, oh, hey, I want to rewrite, you know, Eloquent. I don't think Nuno rewrote Eloquent, but somebody at one point had basically rewritten Eloquent from, you know, top to bottom. And I remember how appreciative Taylor was of that, but yeah. All this stuff. Shift is still out there.
And Taylor also listened to us and our previous podcast, and how we always talked about their Semver semantic versioning, and he listened to us, and that's why it's a better experience today.
That's right. We played a small role in that, because we kept shaming him. But yeah, Shift is still out there. Laravel Cloud is a thing, if you weren't aware. I played with it. It's fine. Like I said, I have a Joe, so that's basically my Laravel Cloud solution. We do use Forge for that. But anyways, Laravel Cloud is just what it sounds like. Like, you don't worry about servers anymore. Everything is just a service to you. It's nice to have. We kind of use a similar approach with one of our bigger clients in AWS, where, I mean, they're still kind of servers. It's weird. Whatever. Anyways, JMac has a pre-check. So if you have an application that you want on Laravel Cloud and you're not sure, you know, if it's a fit or if it will run in cloud, there's a free shift you can run that will basically let you know, you know, if it's good to run on cloud. And I think the big, I mean, of course it's going to be good to run. If it's a Laravel application, it's going to run on Laravel cloud. I think Mac is taking a step further and really kind of telling you what services you need and, you know, how to do the auto scaling and all those other bells and whistles, which, again, if you're not a SysOps person and you're kind of leaning on one of these services, it could still be challenging to implement. And so it sounds like JMac's kind of stepped up and given people a way to kind of just another click, another little helping hand. And I like JMac, so I like to promote his stuff.
So he's looking at, if you're making calls to system commands, he knows if those commands will even be available on those servers or not. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he does a good job. JMac punches out some just really good code. Very envious of that guy. I wish I could be nearly as talented as he is, but I'm stuck here living with John instead.
I'm holding you back.
You're holding me back, man.
Stay here with me. Don't go anywhere.
I have something else I want to talk about, and then you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, because we are a PHP podcast. If you listen to the show long enough, you've heard us talk about externals, right? Externals is pretty cool. Like if you're ever curious about
PHP once in a while.
Yeah. the actual underbelly of PHP, like the internals piece of it and what's going on in there. This is kind of cool. This is where people will post to when they want to do RFCs. This is, you know, how I consume internals now. Like I'm still subscribed to the mailing list, but I almost never look at it. And I always come here. This has a nice little search tool to it. It will keep track of the articles that you've read. So like if I click on this one and then when I go back, I think it's like a different color. I don't know how it knows. But there it is. The font, the bold is out. So you can kind of look at what you've done. I came across another site that I didn't know existed. You might have known about this one, John, just, you know, holding on to it. Kind of along those same lines as externals is PHP RFC Watch.
Huh. So
this is kind of cool. It kind of does the same thing externals does, but this is only focused on RFCs, and all it does is like link to the RFC. So it's like, if you still want to see the chatter that's happening back and forth through the mail thread, you have to go to externals. But this is kind of, I thought this was nice. This kind of tells you like what RFCs are out there and active. Here you go. The ones that have been voted on, it tells you, you know, what the vote looked like. This is kind of cool. Again, we're pretty deep into this stuff. This stuff, we geek out on this stuff. We enjoy it. It's not for everybody. But yeah, if RFCs and understanding what's coming down the pipeline for the next versions of PHP is something that interests you, check this out. It'll be in the show notes, php-rfc-watch. I'm not even going to say all that.
Yeah, I saw that. You're on.
Sure. Is that even a word? Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
There you go.
But yeah, check it out, externals and RFC Watch.
You've got that first one right there, the PHP license update. That came from our good friend Ben Ramsey.
And he
did a whole blog article about how he went about it called the PHP License Simplified. And people that understand the various licenses always I admire those people because they like know all the ins and outs, and I'm like, nah. I've never been affected by it as much, but I also haven't worked at large enterprise companies that really care,
which is a thing. Yeah,
it's a huge thing, right?
Yeah,
I've never had a legal team that I've had to answer to on if we could use something or not. I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, it's open source, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
So the blog post is good.
Yeah. Do you have a link to it? I thought it would be in here, but I'm not seeing it in here.
Yeah, it's in Trello. I put it in there.
Oh, it's in Trello?
Yeah.
Awesome. Was that this one with with the plates on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that is Ramsey's. Hey, Ben.
Like, right. Look at it. License plates.
License plates. Yeah, Maryland. There's a Maryland one right there. I'm a big Maryland guy. Okay. Well, he's a wordy cat, isn't he? You know, the guy can sit here and write these long-ass posts, but he can't write a column for us? See? That's what I'm talking about, man. No, this looks good. Yeah. I can't get into the licenses, but I'm glad people like Ben are around because, good God, you're a pain in the ass.
Yeah. That's my thought, too.
All right. Well, yeah.
That was my thing. Tech has been all up on my head.
I know. Like,
so much to worry about there. So much to think about. I'm sad that we have to make some changes to it this year. I don't know if I say it out loud, but I will because again, the show, I seem to have no filter. JS Tech, I thought was a great idea, but unfortunately it's turned out to not be very good of an idea. At least the JS community doesn't seem to be as on board. So,
I get where you're coming from. I wouldn't say it was a bad idea. Like, we're not part of that ecosystem enough. And I think you could take your shoe off and throw it and hit a couple JS conferences just in San Diego. So like JavaScript doesn't seem to have an issue with getting community conferences up all over the place. I still think it's relevant to what we do because we're in the web industry. And so I'm being selfish here. So yeah. Do I wish more JavaScript developers purchased tickets and came to the conference? Of course I do. Like, why wouldn't I? But for our people, for our community, the PHP community, to bring in people, non-PHP people, in to do talks on that aspect of web development, I think was genius. And I mean, I'm fine keeping it as its own track. And again, that's all it is, really, is a track. We never actually treated it as a separate conference. We were always going to let people go to, you know, either conference that they wanted to go to, no matter which conference they bought the ticket for. So that was never even an issue. I just think I'm still not saying it's a bad idea. I want to see how many PHP developers end up in that track.
Right. I think that's the hard part is we brought in a lot of extra speakers to fill a track. So having to pay for travel, pay for hotel.
Yep.
And to have no ticket sales that back that up is really hard. And
that whole fourth track curse that you seem to bring to the table every other year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
No. But I I'm not thinking it's a bad idea, but yeah, maybe we should have decided sooner to maybe cut back a track on tech instead. Again, we learned in the past when we tried to do four tracks, that was just too many tracks for that size of a conference, and like what we get as a turnout. And so we thought this would be a little different because we thought we'd be bringing in a whole new community, and we just haven't really seen that happen.
Right.
But, we should have just said, hey, let's just do, two PHP tracks in JS Tech. And then if JS Tech takes off, we can always do another PHP track. But yeah. But I do want to stress, not everybody doing a talk on JS Tech track are non-PHP developers. There are some PHP developers on that side talking. Mm-hmm. But I do want to let you know that you will be hearing from speakers that you don't typically hear from a PHP conference. And I hope everybody takes the opportunity to embrace that. Welcome them to our community take the opportunity to ask questions.
I think that was the other hard part. I'm so used to the PHP community and the PHP conference vibe where you're going for the 3-day experience. You want to go mm-hmm. hang with people. You want to be there. And to have so many people on that side of the fence, the JS Tech side, like, oh yeah, I'm going to come in the day before I speak and leave right after I speak. It's like, well, then you're not being part of the community. You're just coming in to talk. And
yeah,
I mean, thank you for saving me money on a hotel room, but I want you to enjoy the community. I want you to get to know us and us to get to know you and all that.
Maybe somebody who has spoken at more other conferences and PHP conferences can validate this for me, but I have heard Joe mentioned Python Tech next year.
Yeah, so
I have heard that the PHP community as a whole is unusual in the sense that they pay for their speakers' travel and hotel room. I talked to somebody back in the day who was speaking at a Ruby, was it a Ruby event or a Rails event? I don't know. I think it might have been a Rails event, but at very least it was a Ruby event. So Ruby and Rails is kind of like PHP and Laravel, right? Rails is a framework, Ruby's the language. Anyways, they were like, wait, what? You pay for your speakers to travel? It's like, no. Like, not only did this conference not pay for travel, not pay for the hotel, they still had to buy a conference ticket. Like, they didn't even give them a conference ticket. I'm like, what's the point of speaking? He's like, because, we're the subject matter experts and people want to hear from us. I'm like, but you're paying them to work. Joe says, paying for speaker travel doesn't happen outside the PHP. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like.
So Ruby, it sounds like we need to make changes next year.
That's it. No more.
Enjoy your flights and hotels while you can.
Buying your own conference ticket is a Python community thing. See, I'm not crazy. And that seems crazy to me because it's like, how do they get speakers? Like, what's the draw? If I'm going to the conference and I'm paying for the conference and I have the option of, going there and absorbing as much knowledge as I can or stressing out because I'm going to be giving a talk, I'm absorbing knowledge, man. I don't need that.
I've never been to one, so my assumption would be you're going to get more talks that are kind of sponsored. Like, a company is going to pay you to go speak at a conference to push their product versus where we do general knowledge, trying to be a better developer overall.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn about something that's going to make somebody else money.
You know what? And I have to be honest. I know we've talked about tech a lot today. This used to drive Tom crazy this time of year because tech would be all that John and I talk about. But like, we really don't stress that enough. Like, people think this is a PHP Architect conference, and it is. Like, we own PHP Architect. PHP Architect has always sponsored this conference and put it on, but it's never been about selling you any PHP Architect product. Like, we don't sit here and say, oh, hey, we're releasing a new service and, check this out. It's like, hey, we have this magazine. It's been in the community forever. Subscribe. But we could never sell enough subscriptions to get any sort of ROI on it, right? So it's like PHP, it's always been a community conference about just becoming a better PHP developer. And I don't know. I feel like that's a mistake. I mean, I want to be careful with my words. I feel like it's a mistake from a business perspective of I work for a company. I need to send my developers to a conference. But like the conference is like, it's not being like it's being run by a company, but they're not selling you anything. It's, you know, it's like a hard concept for businesses to get behind. Like, this is just a community conference. We say it's a community conference and they say, oh, you guys are just sitting there, you know, fucking around. Like, it's a community conference. Like, no,
right.
No, it's a community conference to make everybody better at development with no upside to anybody. I don't know, man. I feel like we're doing it wrong.
Well, it does allow us to light some cash on fire every year. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it keeps us warm as we cry. All right. It's 4 o'clock. How are you on time? You got some time? I got one more thing. Yeah. I want to get off my board.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good until I got plenty of time. I'm going to see my kids play tonight. They're in a play. They're doing Footloose.
Oh, in a play, like play. Theater.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Okay. I really don't know how to go about this one. But a while back, we talked about how I made the decision to step away from PHP Storm. This is not a PHP Storm smash or anything like that. I just, you know, I was reevaluating how I was developing and trying to grow with, you know, how I'm doing things and with using AI. You know, I have been finding myself in Storm less and less. And so fired up VS Code. I have this whole thing. I like to be able to direct developers to tools that they can use. Again, if you make money with PHP, don't ever hesitate to pay for PHP Storm. If you don't make money with PHP or you don't have the money to spend, VS Code. So I spent some time with VS Code. For those of you who recommended Xen, I did give that a look. It's cool. You know, it has Vim motions built in. I'm a Vim guy, right? So everything has to have Vim motions. But, you know, it's just I couldn't like tweak it, and I really didn't care enough, because what had happened is I started using just straight up in Vim again, NeoVim. You know, I just loved it, right? Like, god damn, this feels so good. And I just started using it. And then I actually started using Claude to help me with some of the paper cuts I had in my NeoVim configuration that had always been bugging me. And so, you know, Claude like fixed a bunch of stuff and got it dialed in. I'm just really happy with my Vim experience again. But like, I've always had this issue with Vim. So John has always been a Vim user that no plugins, no extensions. He just raw dogs the Vim experience, and which is fine. Like, you can do that in Vim. Like, all extensions typically are just somebody had, you know, cobbled together a bunch of procedures that you can call with some keystrokes. But you don't need them, right? You can work without them. I'm not that guy. Like, I always need like the extra, you know, extensions and plugins and stuff. That's gotten me in trouble before, but I've been very disciplined with my current Vim configuration, because I'm really happy with where it's at. But like, I've been using Vim 20 years, 30 years. Holy God, 30 years? Could it be 30 years? Has Vim been around that long? I don't know. But I've been using it
for a while. Yes, it has been. Yeah.
There are things like I say all this to talk about like the stupid things, absolutely dumb thing. To jump around in Vim, there's always been like these plugins to jump around in Vim. There's always these different ways of doing it. And I had been using this thing called flash.invim. And basically what it does, well, what I thought it did was you hit the letter F, and then whatever letter you hit after that, it would like light up throughout the code that you're looking at. And you could then jump to any of those instances. And this sounds minor, and it's kind of is, and this is how stupid it is. So I was frustrated because I'm like, I didn't really use it that much because I always wanted to cycle through. So the whole thing with Vim is like, you can typically cycle through things. So if you're doing a search for, you know, class, and you find the first word of class, and you can hit N and it'll find the next word of class, and you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't do that with this bounce around feature, right? So I didn't really understand the purpose of it. Mind you, I've been doing this for years now using this stupid plugin. I'd been using it wrong the entire fucking time. Like, I wasn't even close to using it correct. I wasn't even using the right binding. Like, I still don't know why mine worked, but I was using it wrong. And so I like finally just got frustrated. It's called Flash Vim. Here, I actually have this video here. Let me share this. So I'm watching, I'm sitting there one day, I'm like, God, there's gotta be a way to cycle through what I'm looking for. And so I found this guy, and it's like, oh, hey, you know, how to use Flash Vim, right? And how to jump anywhere instantly in NeoVim. And he's talking about this plugin. And I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, I've been doing this so wrong. And I feel like so stupid about it. This is so typical of how I use this tool, that I get so into a way of doing something that if I try to change it and it just doesn't work how I think it should work, because that's a lot of what Vim is. It's just like you customizing it so that it works how you think it should work. And I'll put this in the show notes. I mean, I'm not selling this plugin to anybody, but when you see how silly simple this plugin is and how much trouble I was having with it and not understanding why I had it installed.
It can't be that simple. The video is 12 minutes long, for crying out loud.
Well, it's a typical, like, the first, like, 8 minutes is setting the stupid system up. It's like, oh, my God, you know, I can't stand these videos. But yeah, it's not nearly that much. Yeah, here, introduction, installation, basic jumping around, tree set sitter mode. Then we finally start getting into using Flash at 6 minutes. What? I wasn't too far off. You finally get there in 6 minutes where you're actually using it. Yeah, and then 7 minutes is where I was at trying to do things with F, and I'm such an idiot, man. I am such an idiot. I swear to God. So,
all right, yeah, I'll check it out.
This is why you should never listen to me, because I really don't know what I'm talking about most of the time, but I do just enough to you know, be dangerous. And oh my gosh, man, it doesn't matter how much you use a tool. I don't know. I just felt stupid.
Yeah, but it's not like there's formal training. You're like, I found a plugin, and if you don't read docs top to bottom, left to right, like the whole thing, you think you got the gist of it, you go and use it and get stuck doing it the way you know. And that's how I always use Vim. But in my defense, back in the day when I learned Vim, I was working on remote systems.
Mm-hmm.
I was installing firewalls. We cyborg firewalls. I got to fly around the country and install these things, but they were all over the place, and I didn't have the same configuration everywhere. I would jump on, I would edit some files, I was done. Mm-hmm. Then my next job, we had 4 racks in our server room, and I would jump to different machines. I'd jump on the mail server if I needed to, and I didn't spend time putting a bunch of plugins on all the servers because I was using it in different ways, and usually just as a file editor. Get on, configure, send mail with whatever I needed to do. So it's literally edit the file. I didn't need anything fancy. And that's just kind of how I use Vim, and kind of just stuck that way.
Mm-hmm.
Until I met you and I started installing plugins. And like you said, you install too many plugins, or you install the wrong plugin, and then all of a sudden everything's broken. You're like, what did I install? Why is this broken? And have to back it out and start over. And it's like, if I can move on the file fast and type, I'm good.
I was the same way. Like, I didn't know Vim was like a thing. Like, I was using it because I thought that's how you edited files on Linux machines, right? I wasn't aware of Nano or Emacs. Like, I didn't understand. So I always just used Vim. I mean, it was just how it was, you know. And that's when I was at the enterprise, and I saw. So I say same thing, very basic functionality, insert, delete, you know, just your normal stuff. And then I saw a developer who had MacVim installed. So like MacVim is like this weird thing. Like you have Vim in the terminal, but for some reason, Mac users used to have their own little MacVim application. And he was using it to code and blew my mind. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm just writing, you know, I think he was writing Ruby at the time, talking about Ruby. He was writing a Rails app, and he's just like flying around and typing. I'm like, but is this on a server? He's like, no, it's on my desktop. I'm like, why are you using Vim? Like, I think I used Notepad Plus back then or something. Like, it's like, why are you using Dreamweaver or something like that? He's like, but why use, like, those things are clunky. Eclipse, that was the big thing. Everybody was using Eclipse back then, Eclipse. And he was like, why use that? I just use Vim. It's just as good, and I'm actually more productive with it. I'm like, that's crazy. I would never use Vim to code. And then a couple of, like, I said that, like, pretty much that day I started, you know, using it to code. And then a few years later, that's the only thing I was using. it was such a weird journey. Like, yeah, weird, man. I appreciate the fact that I didn't know what I was doing with Vim. Like, I didn't know it was supposed to be this hard thing to understand, because I just embraced the fact that I knew the basic functionality of Vim motions. Mm-hmm. It's carried me through so much. So,
I mean, it led to me doing presentations. Like, my first presentation was, anything you can do, I can do faster in Vim.
Yeah.
And I was using the basic functionality, but it was really showing people how to get around files quickly and easily.
I think you inspired me to do that talk for SDPHP, where I had the Vim for PHP developers talk that I did. Yeah. Yeah.
We're old. Cool.
It was funny. Well, I mean, you're old, you know. Yeah, I'm old too.
You're getting older tomorrow. Oh,
I am getting older tomorrow. Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. You want to hear something funny? Oh my gosh. Wait, I was going to wrap up with Vim. I forgot what I was going to say. I've been telling everybody for the last year, I'm 55 years old. I'll be turning 56. Yeah, that's totally wrong. I'm 56. I'm turning 57. Becca's like, she's like looking at me. She goes, we had this conversation one morning. She's like smiling at me. She goes, yeah, right. You're 55. I'm like, I am 55. She goes, you're not 55, Eric. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm 55. And I'm trying to do the math. And math is hard as you get older. And I just couldn't do it. And eventually I had to, it came down to
a calculator.
I asked Alexa, I said, Alexa, if I was born in 1969, how old would I be now? And, you know, Alexa's like, well, I don't know when your birthday is, but depending on when your birthday is, you're either 56 or 57. I'm like, okay, so I'm turning 50. And in my head, I'm still winning. I'm like, okay, I'm turning 56, obviously. And Beck says something. I don't know if you have this with your Alexa now. Beck said something. She goes, no, you're turning 57. Alexa. Oh, cancel. Like, this is like a good 30 to 60 seconds later. Steps back in. oh, that's right. Your birthday's May 8th. You're turning 57. I'm like, shut up. Don't be asked to.
Get out of my conversations.
Oh, my God, man. So, yeah. So, I'm way older than I thought I was.
Way by a year.
Yeah. 365 days, to be exact. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm turning 57, right? That's what we decided.
That's what we decided.
Yeah, I missed my 56s. I was never 56, apparently.
But you were 55 twice?
55 to 57, yeah. I feel like such an idiot. So, yeah. As I was telling my wife the other day, we went to the Padres game, which was fun. Went to the Padres game. They're like showing like some kid was having a birthday. I forget, he was like 13 or 14. And, you know, we're like, oh, how cute is his birthday? And I'm like, I look at my wife, I'm like, you realize our Costco membership's older than he is. Our Costco membership could babysit him. You know that? She's like, shut up. What are you talking? And then, like, it dawns on her, I'm right. It's like, ugh.
That's funny.
All right. That's it. We're running long.
Here yep.
Go. One more show, and then we're taking a break and doing a conference, doing an 8-hour long podcast.
Yep.
All right. You got anything else you want to say to the good people before we hang up?
Tickets still available to Tech. Come join us. Hang out with Eric while he's, when he knows his age. You can hang out with me in my last few days in my 40s.
That's right. Oh, yeah. You're turning, you guys just had a wedding anniversary, too. So,
yep.
I won't put you on the spot with that. But yeah, you have a 50th coming up, don't you?
Yeah. Wait, 26 years.
Okay. Whew. What? I thought my Costco membership was older than your marriage. That was it's not much younger, but it's right there. my Costco membership can, you know, buy alcohol. I'll give you that much. Yeah. So you turn the 50 this year, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, nice. Should be fun. Yep.
Later this year.
All right.
Already. Well,
I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here with you. Happy to be here with all the people in our Discord channel. See how I brought it around? It's like I'm making everybody feel good. It's been a kumbaya moment. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. And we'll see you guys next week.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.